Hey, Tony, you ready to party like it's Hometown Sounds?
Yeah, I am.
Count it off.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Welcome back to the Hometown Sounds podcast. We show you how DC rocks.
And we like it.
I'm Paul Vodra.
I'm Tony Parecco.
And that was Party Like It with their first original song called Clockwork Lover.
I felt like I was 12 again and that I was hearing that Real Big Fish record, Turn the Radio Off.
Oh my God, that was so good. I love that record. Real Big Fish, fantastic band, by the way.
Oh man, I remember going online and reading stuff on their website back in like 1997 about how their front man was getting guitar lessons from like some big classic rock guy. And I was like, what the hell? Like, it's just all upstrokes for him. So Party Like It's, yes, very fun band, usually a cover band. And so they're now making their way into writing and putting out original material. But I think kind of a weird position to be in. I mean, I'm thinking about other sort of party fun bands in the area that are usually, you know, cover bands like White Ford Bronco. And then because suddenly you have this problem where people are maybe unsure about the experience they're going to get, like when they're going to come see you play live. Like, do you just want to be amongst like a bunch of drunk, sweaty bros, like singing along to Iris? Do you have enthusiasm for like a band's original material?
Yeah. I mean, I think clearly they are channeling No Doubt and that other great late 90s pop ska stuff. And, you know, they're clearly very good at it. They have their niche. And I think it's awesome that they have realized, oh, we actually have a lot of really talented musicians in this band. We could use that template and write some brand new material. And they could, you know, graduate. I mean, I'm sure that they are still going to be doing a lot of fun party cover band gigs. But to also be playing original stuff is fantastic. And I look forward to hearing, you know, a full album by them. They have a show coming up. Of course, there are many shows coming up by this band. The next one is on Saturday, May 21st. It's at Jam and Java. They have a full 90s throwback party. Party Like It's are going to be covering No Doubt. A few other bands. Garden Grove is going to do a tribute to Sublime. Damn It Josie is doing a tribute to Blink 182. And there will be a tribute to the Smashing Pumpkins by a band called the Dashing Blumpkins. And if you don't know what that is,
we're not going to explain it to you.
There's Google.
Yes.
Google it.
But I am going to speak on something somewhat related.
All right, then.
So, Paul, what do you do with Netflix these days?
Okay. Well, I'm still doing the discs in the mail because I'm a freak.
But, are you serious?
I still do the discs in the mail. I got used to it because my internet was so slow. I couldn't do anything for years, and I really need to stop doing that.
Streaming. On the subject of discs in the mail and like old tech.
Yeah.
I listened to an episode of Gimlet's Reply All this week. And so it's a show about the internet. And the story was about a guy in prison who has a blog.
Yeah.
And what he does is he writes out his blog posts by hand and mails them to his mom, who then types them up.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So that's crazy.
Yeah.
But anyway, getting back to things related to Blumpkins.
Yes.
So there's a new stand-up comedy special from a comic by the name of Ali Wong.
Okay.
Okay. She's a television writer for a show called Fresh Off the Boat.
Mm.
And I got home from work at like 11 p.m., on Wednesday.
Yeah.
And I was just a wreck. It had been an incredibly long day and evening.
Yeah.
And I need personal recommendations for my Netflix stuff. I'm not going to go out on a limb and check out the new Netflix, you know, produced by Netflix shows like Love or something. Like I need someone to hold my hand a little bit.
All right then.
Yeah. But so there was this comedy special that really kind of looked like bait.
Yeah.
And you know, there's this kind of small Asian lady who's has like her tongue out and she's clearly pregnant and has like a really tight dress on. I was like, I don't know, I'll give this a shot. So I have this on and I'm just laying there and she has this bit. I don't want to spoil too much because this is a fantastic comedy special actually.
Oh, good.
But she has this bit about how she aspires to be a housewife and not have to work anymore. So she can take shits at home that are not like oppressed by the concern of her coworkers hearing. Like housewives, like, no, you can just sit down with your iPad, play Candy Crush, listen to podcasts, Planet Money. And I was like, oh my God, podcasts have become mainstream enough that you can mention an NPR podcast in a comedy special.
About being on the can.
Yes. So, I mean, which is also just kind of classic stand-up material.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Definitely.
But I was like, wow, that's so cool. Things are really moving forward for us in podcasts.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
All right. So let's bring things back to the music.
Yeah. So you, I think, have been working really hard at a lot of stuff. And I think that you haven't been able to go out to too many shows recently. But I have. I've been out to some. And one thing that I really had a blast with last week was the Funk Parade. And one of the bands that I saw at the Funk Parade was a band called Rare Essence. And guess what? They have a new album out. And guess what? You're about to hear one of the songs.
And
Turn It Up, the title track and new single from Rare Essence. And that track features DJ Kool, who is hugely well known for his chart-topping 1996 single, Let Me Clear My Throat. So more 90s throwbacks.
Stuck in the 90s today.
It's fantastic. This is Rare Essence's first studio album in 15 years, and they are celebrating their 40th anniversary as a band.
That's crazy. Like, what does that mean when you have a band that's been around for 40 years? Are all the members like really, really old, or do you have like people who kind of come in and replace other people who are younger?
I think that's it. It's a mix. There's one guy who has been in it the entire time. And so there's a few older people. There's a few young bloods in the band. They really brought a lot of energy. I saw them at the Funk Parade. They were the big last show at the DC Music Download stage, which was right by the 930 Club. And they only played like 3 or 4 songs.
But a go-go track is often, you know, a live performance. That's going to stretch well over 10 minutes.
Yeah,
a lot of the time.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think actually they closed down. I mean, it started at like 6:30 and it ended a little after 7. And I think that they were then going to pack up and go play another gig that night.
Wow.
At some like Cafe Asia, I think, which is a place where they have a lot of go-go music.
That's weird that you have go-go music at a place called Cafe Asia.
That is, you know, they do where they can. That's the thing about go-go too, that I really liked about that show. It felt like there was a really nice mix of people in the crowd. And I got the sense that the band was a little blown away by that and not really expecting such a diverse crowd. I was there in amongst the people, and I got the sense that there was a fair number of kind of working class black people at this show who were not only having a great time, but also seemed to have a lot of pride in that Rare Essence, you know, has been around for so long. It's their music. It's still really popular. It's still really fun. So that was fantastic. Normally, these go-go bands don't put out studio albums that often. They usually set up a recording on the soundboard and record a live show, which they call a live PA mixtape.
That's so interesting.
And they, of course, used to be on actual tapes. And then, of course, they went to CDRs. But people, dealers, I think there were some stores that would sell these too, but mostly I think it was dealers that would set up a table on a street corner in DC and would sell these things. And they were of varying qualities. And you kind of didn't know what you were going to get. And maybe you could find, maybe you went to a go-go show like in the 80s when you were young and it blew your mind and changed your life. And you were like hunting down that live recording of that show you went to.
That's so crazy. And so you were searching for like the go-go equivalent of like Fish at Red Rocks.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, and go-go has a lot of crowd participation. There's a lot of call and response.
No, it also makes sense. Like if you need to send out a demo to maybe a venue, and you need to, you know, show off what you're going to sound like, you know, and if it's such a social experience, you probably want to capture that. So that actually makes total sense.
Yeah, because it's the full package of a go-go show.
So I'm also thinking about there's a Boost mobile store at the corner of where Georgia hits Florida.
Okay.
Like, or you know, U Street, whatever, man.
Yeah.
And this all kind of makes sense now because they have a banner outside that says we sell go-go CDs.
Yeah.
So I think that this is what they must be talking about.
Absolutely. Yeah. The kind of rare live stuff. And I'll be honest, there's not a lot of it online. You know, like you kind of need to dig to really get into the go-go scene in DC. It's not easy. There's definitely a lot I don't know about it. But anyway, so I went to the Funk Parade. It was a very good day. I had a blast. It was my third time going. It's the third annual. And I thought the Funk Parade itself was kind of superfluous. I felt like that was funny that it was the focus, and yet it was not nearly as much fun as seeing the bands on the stages outside.
Well, I think that there's also possibly, in terms of like the getting the governmental powers that be to put all this on, I don't know, there's something that feels a little more civically oriented about a parade.
Oh, yeah.
Than like New Orleans style, like let's just let everyone walk in the streets and go to
right.
stuff.
Exactly. Well, and Mayor Bowser was part of the parade, throwing out, you know, beads to everybody. I got one of those.
Bowser beads.
Yeah. But well, it's just kind of funny that like normally when you have parades, it's like about something like 4th of July or, you know, some holiday or something. And this is just a made up thing. Like, let's just celebrate DC's funk tradition with a parade randomly.
I think it's hard to play funk in a parade context also.
Yes, exactly true. Funk bands don't generally march through the city There are some bands that can do that, but not very many. So I had a much better time seeing the bands on the stages, and that was kind of a little spread out. There was a stage by Bohemian Caverns, there was a stage by the 930 Club, there was a stage by the U Street Metro Station, and I was kind of running around between them constantly and dodging traffic, and it was a little sketch. So I really kind of wish that they would maybe do away with the parade, maybe make it into something different, but like close off the street like they did with Adams Morgan's day, and set up stages in the street and have everybody seeing music right there, because it would be so much more fun, I think. So, but hats off to the people that organized it. It was a really great time. Showed a lot of people what's going on with DC music, because all the bands were DC bands. I saw the Lucky So-and-Sos. I saw Kokai.
Is that cool?
Oh, the Lucky So-and-Sos were fantastic. Jazz flute and rappers. And one of the rappers was kind of doing like beatbox scratching kind of stuff. It was fantastic. The Funk Arc, Black Masala. Oh, I saw so many bands. It was too many bands. I feel like there was also like kind of too much going on at once. And I was having a hard time like deciding. And I would see a band for a few songs and then I'd go, oh, I gotta go see this other band right now.
So, I get that.
Yeah. So it was overwhelming. But all in all, it was a fun day.
Cool.
A lot of rappers, and we love rappers. And in fact, we're about to play you a song by an amazing rapper. This is Khan.
Problems. I've been thinking, who the fuck am I to disagree? I heard I'm pretty dope, so I guess I got to oblige inside. I've been plotting on the way that we could elevate. A massacre to track up your skill, I never hesitate. I put a lot of time into the craft to make it resonate. I regulate with repetition, I could be the greatest. But ever me illogical, the other have a lady. Practice all the patience that I got in my attendant mind. I minimize the ignorance, so in a minute I make it relatable, evade the negativity at all costs. Trying to find my way, I'm feeling so lost. Find me in the zone, I gotta focus. But that can be an issue, I'm addicted to the work. It's all I ever wanna do, pursue the purpose that I'm pleading for and need a more than pity. Many minuscule opinions picking apart the immaculate, happily apathetic, and naturally authentic. The sentence is sentimental, like the words are just a piece of my soul. I transcend into the artist that I wanna be. I demonstrate my dominance, a derelict with dialect. My etiquette is excellence, I dedicate my all to this. I solemnly swear it, I serenade with selections of different cadences to kill it. Really invested in this, and anyone that wants the truth that we present to be identified. I live a meager life, I'm motivated by progression, cause a year ago nobody paid attention to the kidding. I'm persistent with the effort, I can make my declaration. Dedicated to the devil, made definitely concerned. I prefer to be a purist, I purchased all of the verses on the way to get it off of my chest. Oh, a lot of it's a problem, I solve it privately, polish them off, I punish with powerful poems, composed of noble creation. Case in point, I'm steadily proven in a lucid dream. I used to be infatuated. Now it's just reality, I'm managing my temperament. My time to capitalize is an infinite. The wisdom I'm attaining from trial and effort is priceless. I promise myself I'm putting the music before my sanity. Send you a lullaby with alliteration and empathy. The lack of recognition is starting to fuel my energy. You know you made it when you're receiving hate from an enemy. Your relevance was never an option. Here's a synopsis, said I'm knocking out whoever you considering the king. I kick him off the throne, I want it, I'ma take it as my property. And probably prepare to go to war with any challenger. Better than Coliseum's people chant for me to finish it. Reminiscing of the legends that left remarkable legacies. I said it, I'm ahead of my time, I am. You could never understand the headspace I'm in. I live I'm writing about it, giving a lyrical ballad. Working to find out a balance, dealing with every challenge. But it's a struggle, meticulously adjusting my train of thought to be positive, transformed to a phoenix. And we just trying to give you something you remember. We the illest nigga, don't ever forget it. Loud. And we just trying to give you something you remember. We the illest nigga, don't ever forget it. Loud. And we just trying to give you something you remember. We the illest nigga, don't ever forget it. Loud. And we just trying to give you something you remember. We the illest nigga, don't ever forget it. Knowledge.
That was crazy.
That was so I'd previewed it for Tony when we were getting ready for the show, but I don't think we had gotten all the way through the song. And then that part toward the end
with like the tongue somersaults.
Yeah. And like Tony was like, what? Yeah. That was awesome.
That's exactly what I was.
That song was called Phoenix by Khan. That is spelled K-A-A-N. And that stands for Knowledge Above All Nonsense. That is a track from the 5-song mixtape EP called Eclectic Audio. It's out there. It's it's not on, you know, these rappers, they don't like Bandcamp. I don't know why. It would be so much easier if you would just put it on Bandcamp. So there's all these random hip hop mixtape sites that you can Google and they will pop up weird stuff in your browser. But eventually you can get to a place where you can download it, and you should. The whole thing is produced by a guy named Orbit. That's spelled O-R-B-T. That's one of Khan's friends. His name is Jason Constantino. So Khan is a guy named Brandon Perry. He lives in Columbia, Maryland, and he was a guest on one of our favorite podcasts, the Chunky Glasses podcast, episode 179. Three of our favorite DC music journalists, Marcus Dowling, Bryce Taylor Rudo, and Kevin Hill, had an excellent chat with him.
It's Rudow, by the way.
Oh, it's Rudow?
Yeah.
Well, you had him on your podcast, so you would know.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you for correcting me. And this guy, Khan, he is really humble. He's really self-critical. And obviously, as you can tell, insanely talented. Like, oh my gosh. And what's cool is that, like, he is clearly not, he doesn't have like management or label or any of that, but his raw talent is making him get noticed in a lot of online places, which is really cool.
And you said he's 25 and lives at his mom's house in Columbia, Maryland.
Yeah. Exactly. Does not really consider himself part of either the DC or Baltimore.
Yeah, that's a rough location to be in, because actually people ask me like, hey, so what's your definition of DC music?
Right.
And I will say like, yeah, we'll count Columbia. Because like to me, like that's just a little north of Silver Spring.
And I feel like people here in DC might go work up there and vice versa. And sure. So I consider it like a suburb. But it is also probably a suburb of Baltimore too.
Yeah.
You know. So anyway, your next chance to catch Khan live is this Friday, May 20th. There's a show at the 8x10 in Baltimore, hosted by Bass Tribe Baltimore. And I think Khan and Orbit are performing together. So that'll be a really awesome show.
I would love to go see his mouth move.
I know. Can you imagine live? Insane. So yeah. Anyway. Okay. Hey, Tony, let's hear some more music. What do you got?
New track from Bells and Hunters.
it back when I was just a kid on a bike.
Okay, so, you know, as we're recording the show, what we do is we'll listen to the songs as we're going through so that, you know, we can sort of get our head together about what we're going to talk about. But me, this time, I was just like managing some texts, like hitting some people back. But I went ahead and texted Bryce Rudow to say like, hey, man, your name checked on this week's episode. And he said like, well, that's ominous. And he followed up with, by the way, the Coward's Choir from last week's episode deserves the best name in DC trophy.
Oh, yeah.
Which, and I just bring that up because I heard there was a lot of love about that Coward's Choir track.
There was a lot of love.
Yeah.
I got some feedback that people listened to it three times in a row.
That's cool. He also said that the band name, it sounds like a Game of Thrones gang.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I'm like, that is not anything I would associate with the Coward's Choir, but yeah.
No, I totally get it. It's cool. Look at that, Bryce. You're on the show twice. Oh, that rhymed. Anyway, that was Bells and Hunters with a track called Kid on a Bike. That has been one of my favorite sort of new generation Bells and Hunters songs for a while. First off, vocalist Kellyanne Beavers, she rhymes cabinet with habit successfully. And that was so cool. So that is from their forthcoming EP, Modern Witches Songbook, Volume 2. We had a track from Volume 1 on the podcast a few months back. They recorded that with Peter Larkin at the Lighthouse. Mm-hmm. They are playing an EP release show this Thursday, May 19th at the Black Cat with Turtle Recall. Again, another fantastic band name that I've gushed about in the past.
Yep.
And with our good bud Derek Avery fronting his new band, who are members of my bands. So, you know.
There's a lot of love here.
So much love. All right. So another reason why I love this song has to do with not the hook, actually specifically, but it's the word adjacent to the hook that really makes this some of the imagery and the what's conveyed in terms of like the understanding and the empathy like so really cool for me. At the end of the chorus where Kelly sings, when I was just a kid on a bike.
Right.
And I actually have so much love for the word just in terms of it conveying someone who's doing their best, someone who honestly didn't know like something was the case. And what I mean by that is like, yeah, I was just trying to tell you that like maybe that wasn't the right choice for an outfit. And I'm sorry it came out wrong. Like I was just a kid on a bike.
Right.
Like it's from the position of someone powerless. Mm-hmm. And that's so often what's happened when you have to use that word. And I just kind of get it. And it made me think about, okay, there's this phenomenon that I call the girlfriend problem.
Okay.
And whatever, you date who you want. Like, I mean, you can be the girlfriend, boyfriend problem, whatever.
Right.
But it refers to when your partner expects you to do something or to have done something without asking you, without having asked you.
Right.
So like, oh, you're just supposed to know. Mm. You're just supposed to know what I want and what I prefer. And I just think that that's bullshit. And if you are with someone, just tell them what you want and what you expect from them. Yeah. Like have more conversation. Use your words.
It doesn't seem that hard, right?
Yeah, I know. But oh boy, is it, right? Yeah. So anyway, that's what I have to say about that. And yeah, that track rules. Also, Joe McMurray on the lead guitar, standing ovation all the time for me. Tremendously talented. He's in like some jazz program right now too. So like he can do everything.
That's awesome.
That's all I have to say about all of that.
Yeah. You should go to that show. It's going to be really good.
Yeah.
Nice. Let's have some more music, Tony.
Let's.
Yeah, right? Next up we have Olivia Mancini.
It won't be
Well, that was just precious.
Well, yes. That was Easy Right Now, track from Walkabout, the new EP by Olivia Mancini, which is surprisingly her first ever solo EP. It just came out on the Aerobic International label. Olivia usually plays with The Mates, who I think were formerly called The Housemates. Also, she plays with Jarrett Nicolay in the duo Astra Via, and also plays in Sarah Curtin's band, who, P.S., just got married last night.
Cool.
So, congratulations, Sarah. Nicolay produced this EP, and there is a lot of emotion in this EP. There's some heartbreak going on with this EP. That particular song was kind of, you know, how great things were at one point, which is probably in contrast to how things are right now. Probably not great. Olivia played bass in a band called Washington Social Club.
What a bad band name. Like, what, Buena Vista Social Club?
Well,
like, I mean, it sounds like it could be like a bridge club or something. Like,
I know. They had reasons for why they named it that, and I think it made sense at the time. But I think, yeah, in retrospect, it is a little weird. They were a fun indie rock band that were in like the mid-2000s. And if you've never heard them, go check them out. There's like a couple of albums. I'm sure they're online. They're probably on Spotify. There's some really fun songs there. And I really liked seeing Olivia play bass in that. Olivia's songs, like, for the most part, have been like really like poppy, up-tempo, rocking stuff. So this is kind of a departure, and I really like it. I like that she has that versatility to, you know.
Oh, and she's a wonderful guitar player. It's so cool seeing her do stuff in most pop rock contexts. Really able to pull off so many tricks.
Absolutely. And I did note this, that according to Jarrett, Olivia sang the vocal for that song in one take. And Olivia responded, fun fact, people sing better when they think it doesn't count. Mind games.
It's true.
We'd probably be better if we were recording the podcast, but not really thought we were recording the podcast and just shooting the shit. And
oh, yeah. Oh, totally.
And then when we turn on the mic, we fail.
Oh, yeah. That's how it goes. I know this takes 6 years of practice.
Yes, it does. Luckily, we've had years of practice.
So I want to share a little bit of our listener demographics that I just learned about recently.
Okay.
And okay, I was talking to someone I know, and she was talking to a musician friend of hers who plays saxophone in some band and has some shows coming up in DC coming up soon. And she said, hey, I know this guy who does a podcast about DC music. It's called Hometown Sounds. And then her 10-year-old kid piped up and said, I love that podcast.
That's so crazy.
Isn't that crazy? Like, no, because she did not know her son knows this podcast.
Oh, wow.
So that's why it was,
what?
So we have a listener who's 10, and we've talked about Blumpkins and Work Shits on this week's episode. So Shorty, thanks for listening.
That's right. I imagine kids today can Google whatever they want. They know so much more than we ever did.
Oh no. And what she said was like, yeah, 10 is the new 15. So I could ostensibly foresee myself knowing what a Blumpkin is at the age of 15. So I don't feel quite so bad.
That's hilarious. Oh man. So that almost takes us to the end of this particular episode of our little podcast. So we want to remind you that if you like social media, we do it too. We're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. The keyword is Hometown Sounds. The website is hometownsoundsdc.com. You can go there, check out videos, podcasts, and whatever the heck else we like to do there. The email address is dj@hometownsoundsdc.com if you want to send us feedback, tips, or submissions. But really the important part is for you to support the musicians you've heard on this podcast by buying their music
and seeing them play live
all around town. For example, I saw this last group live just a couple of days ago. This is Dominguez and Kane. This is some interesting stuff. This is Amy Dominguez and Dennis Kane. Dennis Kane also plays in a band called Soccer Team. And Amy Dominguez has been a cellist on the DC music scene for a really long time. She's been on recordings by Fugazi and Mary Timoney. Her band was called Garland of Hours. They put out a few albums and they've been kind of dormant. Amy Dominguez normally plays cello, but somehow got obsessed with this instrument called the viola da gamba, which is an old Renaissance style stringed instrument, and got obsessed with it and went to the Peabody Institute in Baltimore and got a master's degree in performance on it.
You've got to be so obsessed with something to be like, I'm gonna get a master's in this.
Right. And it was crazy. Of course, I don't know all the details about this instrument, but it is a stringed instrument, but it has frets, and you play it with a bow. It's like a bowed guitar. And she was playing the bow underhanded, which if you look at it, you can see like, weird. Oh, that looks really different. So it was crazy.
Also made of sheep gut, the strings?
That is correct. The album that they just put out is called Gut and Voltage, Viola da Gamba and Electronics in Synthesis. It is out on the Versus Records label. So what she said during this performance was that the instrument is strung with sheep's gut, and therefore has to be tuned frequently. Like she had to do tuning a couple of times during the set. So she's playing that. Dennis Kane is playing guitar and also electronics, synthesizer stuff. They have some old songs on the album and also some new compositions that they made. And here's the cool thing too. They played this show at the MLK Library on Friday at noon as part of the Capitol Fringe concert series that is curated by Jim Thompson, booker extraordinaire, who has some of the, he's probably got the best taste in music in the whole town. He likes some really weird out there stuff. And he puts on this concert series. Luckily for me, I work like two blocks away. And most of the time, if Fridays aren't too crazy, whenever they have a show, I can nip over, maybe get myself a salad from Chopped and head over and eat it while I watch this show. Maybe not. Maybe I get the Chopped salad on the way back to the office. You don't know. But I saw this show, and in the front, there was a guy who had a setup with two microphones, and he recorded the whole show. And the DC Public Library's SoundCloud account has this entire show, 45 minutes long, available for you to stream.
What a fast turnaround. It's Sunday.
It is Sunday, exactly. That thing went up today.
I mean, I'm going to be slaving and editing and producing like the next 2 days because I have to. Yep. But like, nah, they didn't have to do that.
Yeah, exactly.
But I mean, professionals.
Yeah. So I highly recommend you figure out how to find out about this concert series. It's really cool. And I understand Fridays at noon is difficult. But if it is at all possible for you to hop on the Metro, go to the Gallery Place Chinatown station, check these shows out. I wish they were better attended because it was some beautiful stuff. Sure. Great vibes.
It was like the sheep were getting one last yell.
The song we're going to play is called The Hunted Hare Part 1. It is the first track from the album Gut and Voltage. We hope you like it. Thanks very much, Tony.
Thanks very much, Paul.
All right. We'll see you next time.